The Jedi Council members filed in and took their places. Yoda and Mace Windu came away from the window and sat. They exchanged a glance, but did not start the proceedings. What were they waiting for? The doors hissed open again, and Ciri strode in. Obi-Wan hid his smile. He should have known. When he had known Ciri as a young Padawan, she had been strict about rules and regulations. But ever since she had gone undercover to trap the slave pirate Crane, he had noticed a difference in her. She seemed a little restless, less inclined to listen wholeheartedly to the council. Obi-Wan didn't mind the change. Ciri had always seemed just a bit too inflexible. Now she even looked like a rebel. Her blonde hair was cropped short, unlike the other Jedi Masters. Instead of a tunic and cloak, she wore a close-fitting unisuit made of leather. She nodded at him and took her place next to her Padawan, Ferris Olin. Mace Windu's stern gaze swept over them all.
"Thank you all for your punctuality," he said,
giving Ciri a pointed look that only caused her chin to lift and her lips to quirk in a small apologetic smile.
"We have an emergency mission that requires the service of 4 Jedi teams. You are to travel to Radnor, a planet overcome by a toxic disaster. Radnor is a small planet known for its research and development of high-tech weapon systems. A toxic cloud has been accidentally released by one of their weapons laboratories and is quickly spreading. Many have died. Many more have become ill. So far, the damage has been confined to one area."
"Two main city-states there are on Radnor," Yoda said. "Twin cities, they are called. Tacto and Albendo. Small cities they are, each with their own governing ministers. Prevailing winds they have on Radnor. The winds sent the toxic cloud directly to Albendo. Confined there, the toxin has been. Yet no one knows exactly how it has spread."
"Since it is a new agent, there are many unknowns. It could be ingested into the lungs or through the skin," Mace Windu continued. "The agent is not a gas, but an organic substance carried by the air. It could possibly be spread from one being to another. We don't know this either. The second city of Tacto has been spared as of yet."
"Change the prevailing wind will in 1 week," Yoda said. "Then bring it with a toxin to the second city."
"At first, Radnor dealt admirably with the disaster," Mace went on. "The officials mobilized quickly to meet the catastrophe. The afflicted city of Obendo and the surrounding area was cordoned off and is now called the Isolation Sector. Tacto is known as the Clear Sector, and there have been no cases so far. But as Tacto saw how severely afflicted Obendo became, as they saw the numbers of deaths increase so that not one being was spared, they began to panic. The governing ministers of Tacto fled the planet. Anyone who could afford to joined them. There are now no more transports left on the planet to take those who could go. Anarchy and panic have taken over. So the Senate is stepping in. Evacuation vessels capable of transporting the remaining Tacto population are headed to Radnor and will arrive in 3 days.
"Surprised you look, Obi-Wan," Yoda observed.
"Merely that the Senate has acted so quickly," Obi-Wan said. "Mired in bureaucracy, the Senate sometimes took months to debate a simple issue."
"Dire the situation is,"
Yoda said, nodding.
"Bail Organa was responsible for this quick action."
"There will be room for the sick as well as for those who haven't been exposed," Mace Windu went on. "But on the planet's surface, there is panic among the healthy population, for they are afraid there will not be enough room. Corrupt lower officials are taking bribes, so it is also feared that the sick will never make it off the planet at all."
"Chaos begun cannot be ordered so easily," Yoda said.
"You must go in and ensure that the evacuations take place in a peaceful and orderly manner," Mace said. "There are still those who survive in Obendo, and their places on the evacuation ships must be assured. There is looting and unrest in Tacto, so the Jedi must keep the peace as well. It is a volatile situation that means life and death for many. So we have decided that 4 teams are needed.
Transport, you must, medications to the sick on the planet,
Yoda added.
And leave, you must, this morning.
A Senate transport is waiting, Mace Windu concluded. May the Force be with you.
Chapter 4.
The Senate transport slid into orbit around Radnor. No transports were allowed to land on the planet. They would take a small cruiser to the surface. Anakin stared down at the planet. From space, it looked blue-green, and he knew that vast seas covered much of the surface. The main landmass was small, and appeared as though the seas around it would swallow it up. He had visited other worlds since he'd become a Padawan. It no longer surprised him when he saw planets whose surfaces were dominated by oceans and seas. As a boy, he could not imagine seas that could stretch as far as the eye could see. He had lived in an ocean of sand.
Hard to imagine, isn't it?
True said, breaking into his thoughts.
When you look down at a planet, I mean.
What? Anakin asked.
Suffering, True said. Everything seems peaceful from orbit. Then you get down there, in the middle of things, and everything changes.
How many missions have you been on? Anakin asked.
Enough, True said softly. Enough to have seen what I've seen. Enough to know I will see more.
It sounded like a riddle. Yet, strangely, Anakin knew what he meant. Each mission made him feel so much older. Each mission had exposed him to sadness and anger and grief. Nevertheless, he looked forward to the next and the next. That was what True meant.
This is my first mission, Dara Thel-Tanis spoke behind them.
She had not said much on the journey, instead studying the research materials the Council had provided. She had lively, rust-colored eyes and a piece of bright fabric woven through her long Padawan braid. Her energy crackled. Anakin could almost feel it in the air when she was near.
So I'm depending on you two to make me look good.
Dara gave True and Anakin a cheerful grin. Obi-Wan came by and put a hand on Anakin's shoulder.
It's time to board the cruiser.
The 4 Jedi teams, Anakin and Obi-Wan, True and Rygol, Dara and So'ara, and Ferris and Ciri made their way to the cargo bay. They settled into the cruiser and Ciri took the controls. Ferris Olin sat up front next to her, the light glinting off the streaks of gold in his thick, dark hair. Anakin watched his profile. It was strictly emphasized in the Jedi Temple that no student was better than another. Different students had different gifts. Yet Ferris had them all. He was steady and brilliant, a physically gifted athlete, and popular with all the students. He was a few years older than Anakin, and the masters were still talking about him long after he had gone on to become a Padawan. He had excelled at everything he tried, yet no student was jealous of him. They admired him and wanted to be like him. He was also popular with the Jedi Council. Anakin knew they expected great things of him. There was no one at the temple who did not speak the name Ferris without praise. Except for Anakin. There was something about Ferris he did not like. That was not appropriate, of course. It was not up to Anakin to like or dislike a student. Judgment was forbidden in the Jedi Order. He tried to control the feeling. He would control it. He knew well that he couldn't be a Jedi without doing so. Ciri expertly maneuvered the craft down to the landing site at Tacto. She came in fast and whipped the craft around, landing with a whisper-like touch that Anakin admired. All Jedi were excellent pilots, but it was rare to find someone who approached the task as artfully as Ciri. Great landing, Anakin told her. Obi-Wan just sighed. Ciri activated the landing ramp, and they filed down onto the surface of the planet. Rygol carried the case holding the needed medications. Anakin reached out to the Force to feel what he could about the mission ahead. He exchanged a glance with Obi-Wan. The Force was dark here. Fear had gripped the population of both cities, and with fear came desperation, anger, and chaos.
Radnorans were a humanoid species, short in stature and sturdy in appearance. Several uniformed security officers waited at the transport desk. A Radnoran dressed in a white unicoat hurried forward.
Welcome, Jedi. We are relieved to see you. The city of Takto is under great stress.
He passed a hand over his head full of curly brown hair.
The people don't believe that there will be enough room on the ships.
Who are you? Soara Antana asked bluntly. She was known for her no-nonsense approach. Her powerful hands rested lightly on her belt.
Excuse me,
I should explain.
I am Galen, the coordinator of the rescue effort. The officials have abandoned the planet, so I suppose I'm now in charge.
Only a small security force remains.
I inherited this job. I'm normally a scientist. Most of my colleagues have left. I volunteered to help with the evacuation. My sister Curie has gone to the isolation sector to help there.
Galen turned to the security officers.
Remain here with the Jedi ship.
The lead officer nodded.
Affirmative.
Let me take you to the emergency command post, Galen said.
Galen started across the landing pad, taking quick steps with his short, muscular legs.
Rumors come and go daily. The ships are late, the ships are not coming, there will not be enough room. We try to keep information flowing, but it's difficult. So many have left, and those who remain are frightened.
How are things in the isolation sector? Soara Antana asked.
Worse, Galen said curtly. Communication is erratic. The toxic cloud has apparently interfered with our comm systems.
Suddenly, they heard the roar of engines. They turned just in time to see their transport lift off the landing pad and zoom high above. Galen turned to them, his round, ruddy face suddenly pale.
The security officer stole your ship. I am so sorry. Things here are very bad. Even the officers are panicking. Why shouldn't they? Everyone else is, and their own leader has fled. But don't worry. I have a transport in a safe location. It is at your disposal.
We accept your offer with thanks, Ciri said.
We can go there after you see the command post, Galen said, beginning to walk again.
We can assure your people that the ships are on their way, and there is room for all. What is your biggest problem at the moment? Obi-Wan asked.
I have too many problems to single out one, Galen said. The government is practically non-existent. The security officers, the ones who remain, are in danger of disbanding. You can see that loyalty has evaporated on Radnor.
They exited onto a boulevard and found themselves in the city center. The streets were eerily empty. Occasionally, a Radnoran would pass, walking quickly. They saw a family go by, their bundles held tightly against their chests, darting glances testifying to their panic. They passed looted stores and houses. Doors were broken down and windows were smashed. Anyone they passed had at least one blaster prominently displayed on a hip or strapped across a chest. Anakin had never seen anything like it. He could almost smell the fear in the air. They walked by a small space cruiser, its interior bombed out and its engine looted.
Most of the transports that have remained have been fought over and destroyed, Galen explained. There have been frenzied crowds, desperate to get off planet.
Tell us about the looters, Soara said. Do you have any clues as to who they are and where they are based?
No, Galen said. I don't have time to find out. At any rate, we don't have a security force to control them. I can tell you that the raiders have somehow stolen a small army of prototype battle droids from a research laboratory. They use the droids to control the situation while they steal the goods.
Galen's comlink signaled, and he answered it. After exchanging a few words, he turned to the Jedi.
It is my sister, Curie. I'd like you to see this.
A miniature hologram appeared of a small Radnoran female. They could just glimpse curly dark hair like Galen's beneath the white bio-isolation suit she wore. Every inch of her body was covered, with the material stretching over her boots. A transparent mask fitted over her face and head. The hologram flickered, and some of the words were unclear.
There were 3 deaths today of med personnel. There aren't enough of us to take care of all the... We need the new medications as soon as possible. Please, tell the Jedi to...
The hologram sputtered and died. The message might have been garbled, but the controlled panic in her voice was clear.
We should head there immediately, Suara said.
I can take you as far as the energy gate that divides the sectors, Galen told them. It's not far. I can supply you with bio-isolation suits.
They came to a store guarded by several Radnorans with blasters. A sign in the window announced, Bio-ISO suits, 5,000 Karsums.
5,000 Karsums is a full year's salary, Galen remarked. We are lucky to have suits for you.
They are hidden. I don't keep them at the command center because it's already been attacked by looters looking for suits.
Suddenly, they heard the sound of screams coming from the street ahead. Galen looked nervous.
What now?
The Jedi did not stop to wonder. Masters and Padawans charged ahead, running toward the source of the sound. They rounded a corner. Ahead was a large, prosperous-looking house. Its windows had been hastily covered with Durasteel panels. The door had been nailed shut with thick Durasteel slabs crisscrossing it. None of the attempts to make the house a fortress had worked. The door had been kicked in. Two of the windows had the Durasteel torn away.